Hello, it's Alice Arnold here. Welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast, and my guest this week is Cara Lily Hayworth. Hello, and welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast. This week's episode, I have in the studio with me Cara Lily Hayworth, who is playing the title role in the new show, Cilla the Musical. It's based, isn't it, Cara, on the miniseries that starred Sheridan Smith?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, it's written by Jeff Pope as well, who wrote the TV miniseries. So it's the same part of her life, you know, it follows when she's starting out in, is getting up singing in the cavern and working as a coat check girl, and gets discovered by Brian Epstein, who was obviously then famously the Beatles manager. And it follows her career, you know, her first single and then getting to number one. And you know, she was a real pop star. And it also follows her relationship with Bobby Willis, who was later her husband, and the ups and downs of their relationship. And yeah, it's a beautiful story, and it's beautifully written by Jeff Pope.
Now, I know you got the starring role in a slightly unusual way. tell us about how that happened.
Yeah, so they had open auditions for this one, which I haven't done for a long, long time. And they had them all around the country, obviously Liverpool. I auditioned in London at the Dominion Theatre. And yes, I think they had thousands up and down the country. So it was, I just never thought for a moment I'd actually stand a chance. And my acting agent said, "Oh, I think you'd actually be pretty good for this." I was like, "Oh, okay, might as well."
What did you sing for your audition?
So they said to just sing a 60s song. So I sang "Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow" by Carole King for my very first audition.
I would have chosen that. Good choice.
It
is. Yes. So, it, as you said, the musical tells the story of, well, Priscilla White.
Yes.
Did you know lots about Cilla before you went to the audition?
Cilla, when I was young, as with, you know, most people was born in the late 80s, it was Blind Date. That was how I knew her when I was growing up. It was Blind Date and Surprise, Surprise, watching it at my nan's house. And so I didn't know much about her pop career. So it was, I've learned loads about that, but weirdly I knew a lot of the songs without realizing that they were hers. They sort of, I knew them somehow, like Alfie and Anyone Who Had a Heart. They just, I don't know, you hear them somewhere but without realizing that they were Cilla's.
You're a natural ginger, you call yourself, you describe yourself as a ginger. I would describe you more as auburn.
Auburn.
I would say more auburn, but you said that you think maybe that influenced them with the casting.
Well,
hair was the right colour.
I think when you walk into a casting room and they can see you on stage as the part, I'm sure that has some help. I mean, I wear wigs in the show, so it doesn't really, really affect that, but I'm sure that it had something to do with just them imagining me in the role. And lots of the girls that got to sort of the final 20, 30 girls, there were so many redheads in the room. So it's bizarre, even though you know you're going to be wearing wigs. But I'm the same height as Cilla as well, and we're both very limmy. Is that a word?
Are you? Because you're tall. I never thought of Cilla as tall. Was she quite tall?
I didn't either. And watching the TV show, because Sheridan Smith is quite petite, I just thought, oh, there's no way I'm going to get this because I'm definitely way too tall. But I Googled her and I was like, oh, God, no, she was 5'7" and pretty much the same sort of build as me, you know, same hair colour and everything. I thought, well, you never know. It's worth going for.
And, of course, when Sheridan Smith did the television programme, Cilla was still alive. And, in fact, you know, I've spoken to Sheridan about it. Cilla said, you can ring me any time. And Sheridan never did phone her. But, you know, sadly, Cilla had passed away by the time you were doing the show. But her son, I believe, is one of the producers, Robert.
Her eldest son, Robert, is executive producer of the show. So he was there in the auditions and right through the process. But Cilla herself, it's been in the plans for a long time to do the musical, right from when they were doing the TV show. So she, you know, it had her blessing and she knew that it was going to happen. It's a shame that she never got to see, you know, how it turned out. But yeah, Robert is really proud of it, and he's been several times and he's always just over the moon, and he's just the loveliest man if you ever get to speak to him.
And when you're playing Cilla, are you thinking of impersonating her, or is it a performance more inspired by
her? I'd say more inspired. It's not really sort of an impersonation. And the way that Robert Willis put it in the auditions, he said he didn't want someone to impersonate his mum. He wanted someone to capture her spirit, which is hopefully what I've done. I mean, vocally, she had such a distinctive singing voice. And, you know, I'm sure I've got elements from having listened on repeat, but I don't think I really sound exactly like her. And you know, speaking voice-wise, I've tried to really get her tone and everything like that, but it's not an imitation, I wouldn't say.
And of course, she was from Liverpool, and yeah, you're clearly
and
not.
I'm quite clearly not. Yeah, no, obviously I do the accent in the show and everything, but yeah, opening in Liverpool was quite nerve wracking for that, because I thought, God, they're either gonna love me or hate me, but they seemed to absolutely love the show, and the reaction on the opening night in Liverpool is a moment I'll never forget.
Yeah, well, the reviews of the show all round have been absolutely phenomenal, and the reviews for you have been phenomenal. Yeah. And you're being very modest, saying they absolutely loved the show. They loved you, and I guess the audience get incredibly involved in the music of the show. Is there a particular song in the show that's either your favourite or you think is the audience's favourite?
I think the audience, well, I mean, it's my favourite probably, and the audience's favourite is I Sing Anyone Who Had a Heart, which was her first number one hit at the end of the first act. And it really is like a sort of magical moment. You sing it in the studio. I've basically recorded one single before that, which was Love of the Loved, and it didn't do as well as everybody hoped. And this was sort of her shot with, before she thought, well, the record label aren't going to want me anymore. And she basically gives everything into this song in the studio, and there's just sort of, you could hear a pin drop at the end of the song, and the reaction is always incredible. And then I get the phone call afterwards and it's gone to number one, and that scene closes the first act, and it's really magical.
So everyone has a very jolly drink in the bar then.
Exactly.
Yes.
And on the first night in Liverpool, everyone, I mean, we've had a few standing ovations halfway through the show, you know, everywhere, but in Liverpool they stood up and applauded for what felt like about 5 minutes, and I didn't know what to do with myself on that first night, because I just had no idea how it was going to go down or how they were going to react. And yeah, it was amazing.
Now, you started your career, this is not your first job by a long shot, you started your career when you were only 10 years old, and you were Annie in Annie with Paul O'Grady.
Yeah, who was obviously a great friend of Cilla's, so it's sort of weirdly come full circle. Yeah, so I did that one famous redhead to another. Yeah, when I was 10, 11... in 1999, so quite a while ago now. And he, as Lily Savage, played Miss Hannigan, and I was Annie. Yeah, and he came to the press night in Liverpool as well to watch Cilla, so it was lovely.
Oh, that's
great. I've got a picture of the two of us then and the two of us now. I mean, I look identical.
But he's watched you grow up. That's really lovely. And were you always, I mean, to go into Annie when you're 10 years old, presumably, were you going to dance classes and singing classes and all that when you were a child?
I mean, I went to just my local dance school, and I remember we did a show every year, and I did a singing number in one of the shows, and I think one of the dance teachers was like, oh, actually, you've got quite a good voice, you should go and audition for, you know, a children's agency. So I went and auditioned for the Jackie Palmer agency, which was local to me where I was growing up, and they said, oh, well, there's this open audition for Annie, you might as well go just to get some experience, and then got it. And then I thought, well, this is easy, this is how this industry works, you just audition and you get a part. I've since realised that is definitely not the case.
No, I think that happens to a lot of people. We go along and we think, oh, this is easy.
Yeah,
and then suddenly a few years later, it's not quite so easy. But you did go and train after, I mean, you'd been in Annie, but you did go to Central to do it. But do you think it's really important to get a sort of formal training?
I mean, I loved my time at Central, and you know, I feel like I've got a lot of experiences from that, but I didn't really have that many connections in the industry. You know, my family's not in the industry. I didn't have an in. And I mean, obviously the training was wonderful, but also it put me in front of agents and industry people, which I would never have had any way of doing it. But then I think there's wonderful actors that haven't trained. So I don't think it's, you have to train to be good. You know, it helps with training as an actor, it helps with getting in the industry. But, you know, if you're working and you've got those connections and you're out there, then, you know, I've learnt as much while working as I did at drama school. You know, you being on set and being on stage is where you learn a huge amount of your craft.
Now, you have a singing group as well as your solo career.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to say it right. Zyra, I'm going to say.
Zyra, Zyra Rose. Well done. That's very good.
And you got to the live semi-finals of Britain's Got Talent.
We did.
You could tell me about being in Britain's Got Talent.
It was great. It was a bit of a random one. I did a concert at the Royal Albert Hall a few years ago, like a night of musicals thing, and one of the guys who was playing violin in the orchestra approached me about this idea that he had. He was talking to record labels, and I thought, well, why not? And we were signed to Decca Records for, I think it was about a year, and then we got dropped by Decca Records.
And what does that mean when you're signed to them? They pay you some money and say, can we make an album?
Yeah, and they put us in the studio, and we released four songs, which all went to number one, actually, in the classical iTunes charts, which was amazing.
Oh, so it's a classical group?
Yeah, it was sort of classical crossover. It's sort of film score type epic music. So we did like Game of Thrones and things like that. And then the record label decided they didn't want to continue that. So then after that, which happens all the time, and we got approached about auditioning for Britain's Got Talent, and we thought, well, why not? Might as well. And yeah, so it was really good actually, and doing the live shows was brilliant, you know, all the costumes and the hair and makeup and meeting everyone, and it was fab. I think Simon Cowell referred to us as caviar. He said the public likes spaghetti bolognese, whereas you're caviar. I went, okay.
Oh, but, well, that's
Williams then went, what's wrong with that?
As a way of turning you down, I suppose that's a nice way of doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. But no, we had a great time.
Now, of course, you're touring at the moment, and that's difficult for your private life. I will say, your husband, who is the model, Rob Barnes, is actually sitting in the studio. He's being very quiet.
He is. We're so lucky to have him in our presence.
But look, the gorgeous Rob is in the studio. But it must be really hard to be separated all the time. You're so sweet about each other on social media. It is absolutely adorable.
No,
it's not. I thought I was touched by it. I thought it was very, very sweet. But it must be difficult to be apart while you're touring all the time.
I mean, most venues I do get to come back, because we have Sundays and Mondays off. We cram the eight shows in from Tuesday to Saturday, but Sundays and Mondays off, so usually I'll come back on a Sunday and we'll have a couple of days together and see family and stuff. But it depends where you are, you know. We had York, then Glasgow, then Dublin, which I just did three back to back, because it's just silly coming back. So yeah, we do you know, miss each other, but we've been together 11 years, so a little break isn't going to do any harm.
Rob says he stays home, looks after the cats. Two cats?
We've got three cats.
Three cats?
Which is far too many cats to have in a tiny house. But yeah, we've got three cats, and they're lovely.
Yeah.
And we've just had our kitchen done as well, so it's been lovely. I've been away and I've just come back and we've got this beautiful, lovely kitchen.
Well done, Rob. That's how to play it. Yeah. Go away while those building jobs are being done. Perfect.
Exactly.
Perfect. Yeah,
but he's been to the show 13 times, so he's a bit of a glutton for punishment, I think.
I think he's got to do 14. 13's unlucky number.
Yeah, 13's unlucky. We've got to get another one in there.
Yeah.
You'll have to come this week.
Yeah. So you're off to Northampton tonight to continue with the tour. And then the tour goes on at least until towards the end of April, possibly on till May. What do you think's coming next for you?
Oh God, who knows? I mean, obviously the hope is that it gets picked up and goes into the West End would be the dream. So sort of hoping for that. And, you know, other jobs, absolutely no idea yet. Whoever wants to employ me, I guess.
Right. Well, there's a shout out. Anybody listening fancies giving a job to Karen Lily Hayworth?
If anyone wants to employ me next,
do call in. I'm going to ask you a few general questions about musicals before you go. What is your favourite musical of all time?
Oh, probably Wicked. Or Les Mis. Oh, I don't know. It's a toss-up. I've seen both several times. Mm-hmm.
And you could be in either of them, of course.
Of course.
Could be next.
Yes, that could be next.
Could be. If you were going to the theatre for a general night out and Rob couldn't go with you, who would be your worst companion?
My worst companion?
Mm.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe someone who'd worked on the show and spent the whole time saying, well, I did that. Oh, that's wrong. That bit of sound doesn't sound good. Because that's a nightmare. You don't just enjoy the show. Yeah. Maybe the sound engineer.
Okay.
Who spent the whole time flinching, going, oh, no, that wasn't right.
That's very good. No one's ever said that before. The sound engineer. Perfect. what role? Well, we talked about possibly mm-hmm. Wicked. I suppose. I mean, you could do either of those lead parts, presumably.
I've always wanted to do Glinda. I'd love to play Glinda.
So that would.
I don't know if I'm too tall though. But I don't know if I'd fit in the bubble.
Oh.
Maybe. We'll see.
You'll be all right. We'll just wear pumps. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for coming in. Good luck with the week in Northampton and the rest of the tour. And, well, we all look forward to seeing what you're going to do next.
Thank you for having me.
That was the Musicals and Theatre podcast, and if you enjoyed that, then why not subscribe? It's absolutely free to our channel on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also hear me every weekend morning from 6 till 10 on Mellow Magic.